Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Vav, the very first daf of the sixth parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to begin the sixth parak, which starts at the very bottom of daf Ayin Hayam and Beis, and the Mishnah is going to start with a very cryptic line, something about hiring a worker, and somebody deceives somebody. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about what if a worker backs out at some point during the term of employment. So the Gemara is going to spend most of the daf focused on that first line of hitu ze'ezeh. What in the world does that mean? So first it's going to suggest that maybe it means that the shaliach, that the balabayis asked a shliach to hire workers for him, and the shliach misrepresented what the balabayis's offer was to the workers. Either he said that the balabayis is offering more than he was actually offering, or he told the workers that the balabayis is offering less than he was actually offering, and the Gemara is going to explain how each way could potentially read into the Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what's the halacha if a shliach misrepresents the balabayis, and the worker says that he accepts what the balabayis said. So he says, oh, sure, I accept what the balabayis said, but he thinks the balabayis said A. The balabayis really said B, because he never spoke to the balabayis. He only spoke to someone who was misrepresenting the balabayis. So do we assume that he was accepting what the balabayis actually said, or do we assume what he's accepting the terms of employment that the shliach represented the balabayis as having said? So which way do we assume the workers actually meant? And we're going to compare that to a case of a get, where a shliach misrepresented what a woman had said to the husband in receiving the get for the woman. Then the Anamid Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss that maybe the first line of the Mishnah is not about a shliach that was sent on behalf of a balabayis to hire workers, but rather it's about a balabayis or workers who back out before the work starts. That there was a certain agreement, and then before the work even gets underway, one or the other party backs out of that agreement. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if a worker quits halfway through the job, not before the work starts, after the work has already started, but the job is not done yet. So how much does the balabayis owe such a worker? And it will relate to whether it's a davar avod or not. Is that something that's going to cause a loss of money or not? Then the Gemara is going to, at the end of the daf, is going to discuss if a worker shows up and there's no work to be done. So when does a worker get paid anyway, at least kepoel batel? And when does he not get paid at all? I mean, sometimes you want to pay a guy just to be available, just in case something were to come up. A poel batel, that you should have someone around in case something were to come up. So when do we say that if he shows up and there's no work to be done, he at least gets paid kepoel batel? And when do we say, well, no work, no pay? And if there's no work to be done, he's not going to be paid at all. So all of that is going to be discussed in today's daf. So let's begin at the very bottom of daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Hasocher esho umanin. So someone hires umanin. So this is going to be a case where a person hires someone to do malacha for him. Now an uman can come in two different forms. It could be a schir yom, or it could be a kablan. A schir yom means someone you pay by the day. A kablan means someone you pay by the job. Umanin could mean either one of those things. It could be a schir yom, or it could be a kablan. Now this parak is called Hasocher es hu umanin. However, the next parak is also called Hasocher. It's Hasocher es hapoalim. That's why we call it by the whole name, because there are two Hasochers, one right after the other. Hasocher es hapoalim is schire yom. That's what Tosus points out, that Hasocher poalim has a dafka a mashmaus of a schire yom. But that's not the case over here. So Hasocher es hu umanin. Someone hires someone to do work for him, whether it's kablan schire yom vihitu ze ezeh, and someone tricks somebody. So einlam ze al ze elataromes. The only thing they have on each other is complaints, and they can't have anything other than complaints against each other. So what does that mean? That the Mishnah says that first of all, the Mishnah should have said yesh aleihem ze al ze taromes. Tell me what they do have. Don't tell me they don't have anything other than, right? What's they don't have anything other than? So that's what the Tiferes Yisrael points out, that the Mishnah says, doesn't say Yesh Lehem Taromes, because it's trying to tell me that there is no Chi of Mammon whatsoever, Afilu Latzei Sidei Shamayim, that sometimes you have that there's no Chi of Mammon, but at least Latzei Sidei Shamayim, you have to pay something. So we say, Ein Lam Zel Zeh Ela Taromes, we're saying nothing beyond Taromes. He could have Tainas, but nothing more than Tainas, not even Latzei Sidei Shamayim. The Ritva points out, why would they have Taromes? So he says, either because it's going to look like a joke to other people, or people are makvid on any sort of change that they thought they were going to work for Ploni, now they're working for somebody else, or that people are going to say, oh, they must have, if this deal that they had in place, we knew that there was a term, that there was an agreement of employment over here, and then it never came to fruition, someone must have had a taina on somebody, right? So that's going to be the taromes, that it's just going to it's going to ruin their reputation. Everyone's going to know that that someone hired this person to do that job, and he never even showed up to day one of work. All of a sudden, he took another job. So something went wrong over there, and that's going to cause a problem to the reputation. Of course, what any of that means is going to depend on what the case is. We didn't describe the case. We just said hitu zeh, so we don't even know what that means yet. So we'll have to see why they would have taromas, depending on what the case is. Now, that's the cryptic part of the Mishnah, and that's what the whole daf is going to talk about in the Gemara. Now, the rest of the Mishnah is a little more straightforward. Sachar asachamar, a person hires a worker with his chamor who schleps packages from one place to the other. Vesa kadar. Kadar normally means a potter, but over here, Rashi says that it doesn't mean a potter per se. It means someone who schleps things from one place to another. It means a wagon driver, because just from context, it has to mean a wagon driver. He says, Rashi says, kadar bal karon. Normally, kadar would mean a potter. So somebody showed him and say, yeah, it means a potter, but potters have to schlep their pots. So they have a wagon to schlep their pots. But it's a little bit of a funny way to describe, meaning every sort of business has a delivery truck, but you wouldn't describe them as a delivery business, right? If someone sells furniture, you wouldn't, so they need a truck to deliver the furniture, but you wouldn't describe them as a delivery business. But anyway, so some have a different gear, so where it says it more explicitly. But bottom line is, you hired someone to schlep things for you, to transport things for you. Lahavi par yafrin, and you hire them to bring nice, smoothed out pieces of wood to build a chuppah out of, the chalilim, or you hired them to bring musical instruments, lekala for a wedding, or lemeis, or for a funeral. They used to have musical instruments by a funeral also. They would play flutes by a funeral as a way of being makonein. V'poel in the halos pishtonum in amishra, or you hire workers to take your pishton, to take your flax out of the water that it soaks in, that the pishton soaks in order to soften it up. And if you don't take out, the key over there is that if you don't take out the pishton done on time, it gets ruined, it gets destroyed by the water. It's supposed to soften up to a certain point, but if it softens up beyond that point, it gets destroyed. And the kol davar sheyovan, anything that if you don't do it right away, it's going to be a loss. The chazuben, and then the poelim decide they're not going to do that work before they even started the work. They decide they're just not going to do it. Makom shein shem adam, if it's a place where you cannot find a replacement, you're not going to be able to find other people at the same price that you found, you'll always find other people, depending on how much you're going to pay, meaning if we were willing to pay for it, but you're not going to find other people at the price that you found these guys. So sochar alehen, you could hire other workers for much more expensive, and you deduct that from the payment that you originally gave to the first guy. Omitan, or you could be mata, the original workers, and say, okay, I'll pay you more, and then don't pay them more, meaning they say, I'm not showing up to work, so you say, okay, I'll pay you double. So, okay, now I'll show up to work. Good. And then they'll do the work and don't pay them double. So you mislead them in that way. So the Rishonim point out, the Ran and the Mukhei Yosef point out, that it's dafka when you hire other workers that you can deduct that from the payment of the first workers. But if you actually didn't hire other workers at a more expensive price, then you can't deduct anything from the first workers because you didn't have any, you don't have a baseline of what it took to hire the other workers. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says even if you didn't hire other workers, the first workers have to pay for the loss because they were mafsid your pishtan. The pishtan would have been usable, would have been viable, and now it's useless, and therefore you're going to have to they're going to be on the hook for that. Now the Mishnah says Hasocher es humanim, someone hires people to work as a kablan v'chazru behen the yadam al tachtona, and they back out after they did some of the malacha, they didn't finish the job. So yadam al tachtona, the workers have the lower hand, meaning the employer has the upper hand. What does that mean? If let's say to hire workers to finish the job now is would cost more, and you're not going to find workers to finish the job with the same terms of employment that you had the original workers, so you can hold back from the payment of the first workers the amount that you're going to need to add in order to hire somebody else to finish the job. So if let's say these people accepted to do a job for two slotim, and after they to harvest your field for two slotim, they harvested half of your field, and then they said, we quit, right, halfway through the job, and now because Schiris Poelim, just the market has changed, and you're not going to be able to hire Poelim to harvest your field, to harvest the rest of your field for just one more sela, you're going to need to pay a sela v'chetzi, so then the Yad Poelim is ala tachtona, the first workers get the lower hand, so you deduct that extra chatzi sela from what you owe them. So instead of paying them one sela for half of the job that they were supposed to get paid two slotim for, you pay them a half a sela, because for the rest of the job you're going to need to pay a sela and a half to finish the job. But what if you can now get workers for even cheaper? So now you can find someone who's going to finish the job for only a half a sela. So what do you pay these workers? So you pay the workers what you originally agreed to pay them, which is one sela for half a job. It would have been two slotim for the whole job, but now it's one sela for half a job. You do not need to pay them a sela and a half, so that sum total you end up paying to slime, it's always yadam ala tachtona. But the balabais chozer bo, if the balabais is one that backed out, then yado ala tachtona. Then he's the one that has the lower hand. That if schiris polim went down in price, so he should give them what he agreed to pay them initially for the entire malacha, except for what he's going to have to pay the next worker. So if they did half the job and he says you're fired, then he finds someone to finish the job for a half a sela, he should pay them a sela and a half. He should pay them more than he initially agreed to pay them. And if to hire workers now costs more to finish the job, he's going to have to pay someone a sela and a half. He still has to pay a full sela to the first workers, because he's the one that backed out. Now the idea that if it now costs half a sela to have someone finish the job, that he's going to have to pay the workers, the original workers that he hired them for two slotim to do the whole job. They did half a job. So we're saying he's going to have to pay them a sela and a half for half of the job that they did. How does that make any sense? The Rishonim are bothered by that. That's more than the agreement. Meaning, why would you ever have to pay a worker more than the agreement that you made with him? So the Ritva says, very simple, because the agreement was that they're going to do the whole job. And they were banking on being able to get two slotim for the whole job. So yes, they did half a job, and you're going to have to pay them more than half of what you agreed to pay them, because they're not going to so easily be able to find work to make up for that loss. So yes, so for half of the job, you're going to pay them a sela and a half, and that's exactly what Rashi says, that's what you pay them. Tosfos ben Peretz quotes from the Ri that he just understands differently, that no, you only pay them one sela, not a sela and a half if they did half a job. Okay, so that's a machlokas rishonim, but what you get from this mishnah is that kol mishana yado ala tachtona, that anyone who did different than he was supposed to do, or that's a new halacha actually, someone who finished the job but did the job differently than he was supposed to is also yado ala tachtona. I hire someone to dye a garment and I ask him, I really like a black suit. Can you dye that? Make sure that it's jet black. That this garment, this suit is black, and he shows up with a beautiful red suit. So that's not what I asked him for. I asked him, so yado ala tachtona. So you don't pay him for his work. You pay him for whatever increase in value the wool that I gave him has had. If that costs more than the expenses in dyeing it, if that costs less than the expenses in dyeing it, if it's more than the expenses in dyeing it, then I only have to pay for the expenses. I pay whatever is the lesser amount, because the guy who was Mishana, who did different than I asked him to to do is yada tachtona. That is aligned with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Baba Kama Daf Kuf by a tzaba uman who was mekabel tzemer to be tzaveya edo to be tzaveya something red, and he was mishana and he was tzaveya black, or vice versa. So the Rabbi Yehuda shita was yada tachtona. Rabbi Meir disagrees over there, and he holds that since he was mishana, he was kona the tzemer as a gazlan, and he has to give the tzemer to the bala tzemer. The tzaba has to give the bala tzemer, the dyer has to give the owner of the wool the value of his wool, because we view it as if he just stole the wool. So he gets to keep the nice red suit that he made, but he's got to pay for the wool that he took from the other guy. So our mission is assuming not like that. We're assuming not like Rabbi Meir, we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. Not that I'm a gazlan and I stole your wool and I'm going to have to pay for your wool, but that you pay me for the work I did, but you only pay me the lesser of the two amounts, whether it be the expenses I incurred or the increase in value in the wool. So the kala chozer bo, similarly, if someone sells his field and either the kona or the mocher backs out of the agreement, so yada tachtona, also he has the lower hand and he does not get the upper hand. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to focus almost entirely in today's daf on the first line of the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah said hitu ze el ze, that a person hires umanim and they were mata, one was mata the other, so they only have taromas on each other. So chazru ze b'ze lo ketani, it does not say in the Mishnah that they backed out. That would imply that the workers backed out, or that the balabais backed out, and they're changing. They don't want this employment to go forward. Elahitu ze'ezeh. It says that they misled each other. Datu polim adadi. That makes it sound like workers were mate each other. That the balabais wasn't even involved in the misleading of anybody. It was that the workers somehow were ze'ezeh each other. So hechidami. What exactly is the case where the polim were hitu ze'ezeh? The amale balabais. The balabais said to the lead worker, to the foreman of the crew, and he said, "Zil ogerli poelim, I want you to hire a crew of workers, va'azil ihu va'at inhu." And the guy went and he hired, but he misled the people that he hired. So that's where the Mishnah is saying that the poelim that he hired will only have taromes. So hechidami, what exactly, how did he mislead them? What did the balabais tell the leader of the crew? And what did that leader of the crew tell the rest of the crew? So ida amar balabayis ba'arba'a, if it's that the balabayis said to the shliach, said to the leader of the crew, I want you to hire me workers and I'm willing to pay them four, and hire them for four zuz per day, va'azal ihu amalu b'tlasa, and the shliach went and he told the poelim that the balabayis has authorized me to pay you three zuz per day. So that's what the Mishnah says, ein lamela lavela taromas, that can't be, because taromas mayavidite, what do you mean, savar v'kabil, why would they have taromas? They were told they're going to be hired for three zuz a day, and they're getting three zuz a day. How could they have any tainas on anybody? So there should be no taromas, and then the foreman of the crew should go back to the balabais and say, I got you a great deal. You know, these guys could be had for much cheaper. But idam le balabais, if the case is that the balabais said to the shliach, I want you to hire me workers bitlasa, and I'm only willing to pay them three zuz a day, va'azalihu amalu ba'arba'a, and he went and he told the workers that that the balabais is willing to pay you four zuz a day, and then comes the end of the day, and they go to collect their payment, and they see that their paycheck says only three zuz. So the Mishnah says they only have taromas. They have nothing more than taromas. Well, what do you mean? Hechidami. What exactly is the case? Ida amr lehu, if it's a case where the shliach had said to them, schorcha malai, I'm going to be responsible for the full payment of your wages, so nesav lumididei. So then he has to give them from his own money, four zuz a day, because he's the one that hired them, and he's going to have to pay the four zuz that he told them they're going to get paid. Ditani, after all, the Brisa says, asochas apol lasos bishalo, if a guy hires a worker to work in his field, ve'erohu bishal chavero, and then instead of showing them his field, he shows them malacha in someone else's field, nosin los Mishalim, he's the fellow who hired these workers is going to have to pay them whatever he told them he's going to pay them. And then if he wants to get reimbursed from the guy who actually owns the field that they worked on, so he can only get reimbursed whatever he was mahanahim, whatever hana'ah the guy got from the field, but not the full wages that he agreed to pay these guys. So the same thing over here. The balabais agreed to pay them three. He told them they're going to pay four, and he said, and it's on me to pay you four. So good. So it's on him to pay them four. And he can get reimbursed from the Baal HaBayis for three out of four, but he's going to be out that extra fourth zuz that he has to pay all of these workers. The Chiddush of Yuchasim L'Ritva points out the case of the Gemara, the Baal HaBayis said to the Shliach Mefurash that he's going to hire them for three. It's not exactly like the case of the field that we just quoted in this Braisa. Case of the field, according to this Braisa, someone says, here, I'm hiring you to work in my field. And then he shows them some other guy's field who never had a conversation with anybody about having any workers. He never agreed to pay any amount of money. So he said that he's going to be, that the person who owns the field that was actually worked on is going to have to pay only for the hana'ah. So it's a little bit different than our case. In our case, the guy who they're working for actually did say something. He said he's willing to pay three. So even though the work they did is maybe worth four, but that's what the Baal HaBayis said. So he's gonna pay three. So it's similar, but not exactly the same. But the point is, the Gemara is struggling over here. What do you mean in Lavela Taromis? Where do we have in the? What's the case in the Mishnah that we're saying that they only have Tainas? If they were told that they're gonna get paid $3 and they get paid $3, they shouldn't have any Taromis. If they were told that they were gonna get paid $4 and then, but the Baal HaBayis had really only said $3, but they're still going to get paid $4 because the workers, the foreman is on the hook for the $4. What sort of taromas do they have? So it says, "Latzricha damalu scharchem al Baal HaBayis." No, this foreman hired them, and he told them, "You're going to get paid $4 a day, and the Baal HaBayis is going to pay all of it. I'm not paying any of it. Baal HaBayis is going to pay all of it." So then, in the end of the day, they're not going to really get paid the full amount. So they have taromas. So says Gemara, "Velechi polim hechi mitkuri." So why don't we just see how much people typically hire workers for in that place? And if people typically hire workers for four zuz, the Baal HaBayis should have to pay four zuz because that's the sheer hana'ah that he got. Meaning he got the hana'ah of four zuz worth of work. And the Braisa had said that we had quoted before that even if I didn't hire anybody at all and someone just came into my field and worked it, then I'm going to have to pay for the hana'ah that I got from the malacha. So Maram Shiv points out it's not exactly the same. Someone who works in someone else's field where you pay for the hana'ah, because over here the Baal HaBayis said Mefurash that he's not willing to pay for the hana'ah. He said Mefurash he's only paying shlosha. And if the hana'ah is four, but he wasn't interested. In the case where the Braisa quoted that someone's going to pay for that, someone has to pay for that, it's because he didn't say anything. So you came and you worked in my field, so I have to pay for that hana'ah that I got. But over here, he did say, and he said, I'm not paying that, I'm paying three. Nevertheless, Maram Shif points out, since he only said that to the shliach, he never said that to the po'alim, and the po'alim didn't know that they're being hired for only three, so therefore they're entitled to get the full hana'ah. So it says, "Latzricha di'ika demitkar ba'arba'a v'ika demitkar betlasa." Now the case must be that there is no set market price for what you can get workers for. Some workers will work for four, some workers will work for three, and they have a tightness on the shliach to amrule, because the poem will say to the shliach, "Ilav da amrutlan barba tarchina matkrin barba." Look, we know that there's a range of salaries that we can get for the work that we do. You told us we're being hired for four, so we took the job like that because it's on the high end of the range. Had you told us that we were only going to get paid three, we would have continued to look for different employment and we would have found someone who's going to pay us four. So that's the taromas that they're going to have, because they're still getting paid market, within the market range, so they can't get paid more than that. Baal HaBayis never agreed to pay more than that, so that's the whole hana'ah that the Baal HaBayis is going to get. The guy who hired them is not going to have to pay them because he never said he's going to pay them. He said that the Baal HaBayis is going to pay them, so they can't get paid more. The guy who hired them isn't going to pay them more. They are getting paid within the range of the market value, but they could have tainas. So their taina is that we would have looked a little bit longer for employment. Another possibility, over here we're talking about that the poelim themselves own fields. They generally are not people who would go and work in other people's fields unless you're going to pay paid them very handsomely for it. So the Amrulay, so the Paul said to the Shliach, look, Ilav da Amritlan ba Arba, had you not told us that we were going to get paid Arba, it's humiliating for us to go and work in other people's fields when we're landowners ourselves. So that's the taromas that they had, that they are getting paid market value to a certain degree, but they wouldn't have done it because they weren't looking for this kind of work. They were only willing to take it if they were going to get paid at the high end of the market value. The Shach writes in Shulchan Aruch and Chosha Mishpat that according to this Teretz, you don't have to say that Yesh Niskarim B'Shlosha V'Yesh Ba'Arba'a. Even if everyone is Niskarim B'Shlosha, even if the market says you get paid three, but they weren't on the market. They were only willing to do it because they were going to get paid more than market value. So even then they could have taromes. Another possible teretz is that we're talking about regular poalim that do work. They're not palabatim of their on their own. They don't own any land. They do work. And the reason they have taromes is da amrile, the poalim say to the shliach, kivan da amritan barba'a, since you told us you were hiring us for four, tarchin v'avdin lach avidta shapirta. The reason we have tainas is because we knew we were being paid above market. So again, the first answer was the market was a range from three to four, and that's where the taina was. They thought they were getting paid at the high end of the range. They were really getting paid at the low end of the range. Second possibility is no, the market was three. They thought they were getting paid four, and their tainas are because they never would have taken any job because they're balabatim of them on their own. They would have worked their own fields. And the third answer is that the market is three. They knew that they were getting overpaid, but because they knew they were getting overpaid, or they thought they were getting overpaid, they did better work. They did above standard. So says yeah, let's see. Why don't we check out their work and see if it's really above what the standard is. So says Mar Berivka. Now they were digging ditches around the edge of the field. That was the work. It's very hard to see if it was above standard or not. Says Mar, why not? Rivka Nami made the yada. See how neatly it was done, how deep it was. I don't know, you could still see. So says Mar, Demali Maya, Velo Yadia. No, because they already filled it with water, so it's very hard to see exactly how good a job they did digging. Or a fourth possibility, Liolam Damale Balabayas. That really the case is the Balabayas said to the Shliach, Ba'arba'a, that I want you to hire me workers for four zuz a day. Vazal Yomel Batlasa. You change the whole case. Case is that the foreman hired people for less money than the Balabayas was willing to pay. We said before, why would they have any titles? They agreed to work for three, so they should be happy that they're getting exactly what they agreed to work for. Why would they have any taromas? The taromas, the amrile, because the poalim could say to the shliach, leslach al timnatov mi balav. Why would you do that to us? You knew the guy was willing to pay more. Why would you lowball us like that? So al timnatov mi balav. You shouldn't withhold goodness from people who are in line to receive goodness. Says Rashi over here, al timnatov mi balav. Rashi says, Pasuk b'mishle. It's a pasuk in Mishle. What's he teaching me? The assumption is that people, if you're learning Gemara, the assumption is you already know Tanakh, right? So what is it? So what's Rashi telling me? Pasuk b'mishle. So that's what the Achronim explained. The Marshal says that it's a strange lashon. Al Timna told me Bailiv in context. They aren't the Bailiv. The Bailiv is the Baal HaSada. What they're telling is Al Timna Tov mi Poalim. So it should have been Al Timna Tov. So Rashi says, yeah, but it's paraphrasing a pasuk. So not paraphrasing, it's quoting a pasuk and using that as an expression. So that's why they use Al Timna Tov mi Bailav, and that's why it's an imprecise in terms of the context that we're using it, but still it's the best expression to use because it's a pasuk. Okay, so now the Gemara is not sure. What if a Balabayas sends a shliach to hire in Poland as follows? So pshita yamale balabayis b'tlasa vazali yamalu barba'a v'armile kamosha amar balabayis datayu ayiluya. Clearly, if the balabayis says, I'm willing to pay three, and the shliach comes and he says, the balabayis is willing to pay you four, and they say, we're in for what the balabayis has said. So they mean we're in for four, because when they say kamosha amar balabayis, they don't mean what the balabayis actually said, they mean what you told us the balabayis said. Ella, but what happens if the balabayis tells the shliach, hire me workers for four, and then the foreman went and he hired the workers and he said, the balabayis has authorized me to pay you three, the army kamishamar balabayis, and they say, we're in for what the balabayis said, so my What do they mean by that? Adibur didei kasamchi? Are they relying on the shliach, and therefore darmilei mehemnitlan dahachi amar balabayis? And they're saying, we trust that you are fairly representing what the balabayis said, and if it's three, it's three, and that's what we're agreeing to. Odilma adibur de balabayis kasamchi? Or maybe they're relying on what the balabayis actually said, and that's why they didn't say we're in for what you just told us. They said we're in for what the balabayis said, and whatever that actually is, which is actually going to be more money. So says Mar Tashma, we'll bring a raya from Gittin. A man says, a woman says to a shliach, Haveli Giti, I want you to go to my husband and be a shliach laholacha to bring me my get. Here's the thing. A woman is not allowed to make a shliach laholacha. Only a husband can make a shliach laholacha, because a woman's role in a get is kabbalah, is to receive the get. So she can make a shliach that you are my shliach to receive the get, that as soon as you get the get, then I'll be divorced. She cannot make a shliach laholacha saget. Vishcha amra hiskabali giti. The shliach shows up, tells the husband, I was a shliach lekabbalah for your wife. V'amar helach, and kamasha amra, and the husband says, okay, good, here it is, as she said, as she instructed. Now, she had actually instructed him to be a shliach lehalacha. He claims to have been a shliach lekabbalah. So which one is the balabayis being maskim to? So amram nachman, amar barvua, amar rav, afilu giyaget liyada enim ugrashas. There's no divorce over here. It didn't work, because so sham ina adibur didei kosamach. You see from there that the husband must have, when he says helach kamasha amra, he means to say like what you represented her as saying, and therefore he's giving it al das that the wife had made this guy a shliach lekabbalah, and that they should be divorced right now. But she didn't actually make him a shliach lekabbalah, and therefore they cannot be divorced right now. And even when it's higia get liyada, they're not going to be divorced, because the baal never made him a shliach laholacha, and the woman's not authorized to make him a shliach laholacha, so they're not going to be divorced at all. Because if you think that when the husband says Kehelach Kamasha Amra, he means what she actually said and not what you're representing her as saying, then at least when the get arrives at her, in her hand, she should be divorced, because the husband gave the get al das whatever the woman actually said, and she said let it be shliach laolacha, and the husband can actually make the guy shliach laolacha. So when he says, yeah, I agree with what my wife said, so that's going to be, maybe if he did a little more of that agreeing, he wouldn't be divorced. But now it's going to be shliach laholacha. So then they're actually going to be divorced when they get there. But bottom line is, you see that adibura didei kasamach, that when someone is misrepresented by a shliach, and the person says, I agree to what the mishaleach said, what they really mean is what the shliach represented the mishaleach as having said. So answers the Gemara, nah, Amar Rav Ashi, hachi hashti. You can't compare the case of get to our case of hiring workers. Bishlama I itmar ibcha, if it would have said the opposite, that the woman said, hiskabeli giti, I want you to be meshliach lekabbalah. Vishcha amra haveli giti, and the shliach came and misrepresented himself as being a shliach lehalacha, vu amar helach kamosha amra, and the husband says, do what she said, vamrav nachar amar bravu amrav mishigia get liyadam ugrashas, and Rav Nachman, Rav Barav would have said that when she receives the get, finally she'll be Mugureshes, meaning when the Shliach receives the get, right away she'll be Mugureshes, meaning it's a real Shliach LeKabbalah. So then that would be a good Raya. Almada Dibura Dida Kasamach. That would be very clear that he's really relying on what she said. That when the Baal says, do what she said, he means that I don't trust you, the Shliach. I'm trusting what the wife actually said, and therefore he's giving the get al das that what she said should actually be true. So as soon as the shliach receives the get, he's a shliach lekabbalah, which the wife is authorized to make and did make, and therefore they're divorced. Inami, or even if the case was, if had Rav Nachman said the case mishigia get liyada mugreshes, that when had Rav Nachman said the halacha that when she receives delivery of the get, she's divorced. Alma dibur di day kasamach. That would be a good raya that he's relying on what the shliach says and not what the wife says. And if the shliach presented himself as a shliach lalacha, and the husband says good, so the husband is making him a shliach lalacha, which the husband is authorized to do. Elahasa, but the case that Rav was talking about, that the woman said to the shliach that the husband should appoint him a shliach lahalacha, and he said to the shliach that she had appointed him as a shliach lekabbalah, that they're not divorced. You can't learn that that's because the husband is somech on the dibur of the shliach, even if the husband is somech on what the wife said, and he makes the shliach a shliach lahalacha as she had said, she's not going to be divorced anyway. Mishum daka shliach l'shlichus legamri, because the shliach has uprooted himself from his shlichus. Da amar leibis, from the fact that the shliach misrepresented himself and he said, your wife appointed me a shliach lekabala v'nilalachalavina. He's saying, and I refuse to be a shliach lahalacha. Meaning the reason they're not divorced is because he's saying, if it's about halacha, I'm not it. I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to be a shliach lekabbalah. So he's not a shliach. Now the Gemara says, or by the way, hitu zezah could mean something else entirely. That the case of the balabayis to the poalim, it could refer to when one is chozer on the other, the balabayis to the poalim. So they use the lashon of hitu zezah, but it really means the balabayis to the poalim backed out on each other. So now just an entirely different interpretation of the first line of the Mishnah, having nothing to do with everything we just said. Titanya, so the Gemara brings, we do find such a lashon in the Braisa. You hire people to work for you. Vihitu as balabais, and the poalim are mate the balabais. How so? By backing out. O balabais hito osan. The balabais backs out on them. Elim zel zel taromas. They don't have any tvias moment on each other. They only have taromas on each other. Bamedvar mamurim. But when do we say that the poalim have no monetary taina? Shelo holchu, that they didn't yet show up to the place of the malacha. Avol holchu chamarim. But if they came, v'lo matzu tvua, these delivery men came and with their trucks and they didn't find any grain to transport. Poalim matz sadik shilacha, or their poalim, and they found a field that was not ready to be worked. Nosanam schar mishalim. Well, they showed up. You're going to have to pay them the full wages. Avol enu doma baton lebarekan. We can't compare chamarim who return schlepping packages to chamarim who return without anything. Osam lach liyoshibatal. You can't compare workers who did something to workers who didn't do anything. And therefore, even though the balabais is going to have to pay them, he doesn't pay them the full amount like the original agreement. We assess how much less would a person be willing to take if he shows up to work and he doesn't have to do any work that day. And that's what he has to pay them. But medvar mamurim, when do we say that if the poalim back out, that they only have taromas on each other? Shelo eschilu b'malacha. That's if they haven't yet begun the malacha. Aval eschilu b'malacha. But if they already began doing the malacha, shamu le masha asu. We evaluate what they already did. So ketz. They had agreed to harvest this field for two slaim. They harvested half of the field and they didn't harvest the second half. They agreed to weave a garment for two slaim, and they wove half of the garment, not the other half. We evaluate that which they did. And if half of the malacha is now going to cost 60 narim, meaning it's going to cost more than it should have cost, and now when you want to hire workers to do the other half, you're not going to find someone to do it for less than sela and a half. Shisha dinar means a sela and a half. So even though the balabais is losing out because now he's going to have to pay for more than he had initially agreed, nosalem sela, he pays the initial workers half of what the agreement was. Or they can finish the malacha and get the full payment that they had agreed to do. The imsela, no selim sela. But if paying the for the other half is still going to cost a sela, so he gives a sela for the work that they had done. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Shamalan Masha Asada Heosos, that we evaluate the other half that is not yet done. Hayyafa Shisha Dinarim, if now it will cost more to hire someone to finish it, no selim shekel, then they only pay the first workers whatever would the difference is between what it's going to cost to pay the second workers and the agreed upon amount, even though it's less than half of the original agreed upon salary. Or they could just finish the job and take what they had agreed to take. And if the price stayed the same, so then they'll get that price. All of that is by something that, by waiting, nothing is going to be lost.
lost. Avul b'davar avud, but by a malacha where it has to be done now and you can't wait, it's going to be destroyed. Then sochar lein, hire other workers, even if it comes at a premium, it's going to cost more money. O matan, or you can mislead them and tell the ketan matan. What do you mean mislead them? Omer len sela katzasi lechem boat l'shaim. I know I told you I was only going to pay you a sela for your remaining work. I'll pay you two slime for your remaining work. V'ad kama sochar lein, how much more expensive can you hire other workers for and deduct that from the initial workers, up until 40 or 50 zuz. That's only if you can't find other workers to work for the original agreed upon price. But if you are able to find workers to for the agreed upon price, they say, go hire those guys, so then there's only taromas. So Tani Tana Kame de Rav, the Tana taught in front of Rav, this brisa of Holchu Chamarim, they didn't find any tevuah, or Holchu Paul, and they didn't find a field to work. Nosem schar mishalim. You pay them in full. So Amalei Chavivi, he said, my uncle, Chavivi Amar, my uncle had said, Ilu ana havai lava yehivna lehen. If I was the one that hired the workers, I would not give them ela kapol batel. I would pay them for what you pay someone to be available to work. Vatam nosem schar mishalim. And you're saying you have to pay them a full amount. Va'ala katani. So the Gemara asks, what kind of kasha is Rav asking? Is Talmud from Rabbi Chia, but it didn't the Brisa say Eino Doma Baton Lahavarekan Osam Lachal Yoshev Batel? So the end of the Brisa said that. The end of the Brisa said you only pay them like a Paul Batel. So Lo Simur Kameh. He didn't let him get to the end of the sentence. Ikedami Simur Kameh, or he did let him get to the end of the sentence. Vachi Kamer, and what his taina was Chavivi Amar Ihavoy Ana Loavi Yehivna Leklal. If I was there, I wouldn't have given them anything because it's their own mazel that caused them to show up and there was no work to be done. The Atam Kapol Batal, and that was his taina, that you're going to pay them like a Paul Batal. I wouldn't have even paid them that much like a Paul Batal. Okay, we're right in the middle of a conversation, but Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ella Kasha Hach. Everyone have a wonderful day. Yeah.